Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis 24. Bruce, I'm so blessed by your message. I've been there, been there, been there. Somebody very, very, very precious to me was dying, and a brother asked her, said, "What's your hope that you're going to go be with Christ?" She said, "I have two things." She said, I know I'm a great, great sinner. And I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my only hope, my only Savior. You can go into eternity with those two things. God never lets us get above being a sinner, does he? Never lets us get over being a sinner. Never lets us. But he also never lets us get over looking to Christ. Never lets us get over it. Bless his name. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. I want to bring a message this morning. I hope I don't preach too long on a bride for Isaac. A bride for Isaac. And you know, this chapter here is more than just a historical story. It's one of the fullest revelations of God's electing love and grace that you'll ever find in the Scriptures. It's just a beautiful portrayal of God's love for his blessed church, his bride, and the bride's being brought to bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinner being brought to Christ. And let me give you four things before I get into the message here and deal with it. Abraham's here, and he's a type of our father. Isaac here, he's a type of the son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Eleazar, the servant of Abraham, he's typical of the Holy Spirit that Bruce talks about going and dealing with them. And then Rebekah, who ends up being Isaac's bride, is a type of the sinner being brought to the son. Now let's see if I can make that good. But here in chapter 24, I'm going to read the first five verses, and then I'm not going to read anymore. I think as I go to the places as I describe them, you'll be able to follow along very easily. Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And the servant said unto him, "Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from which thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, "Beware that thou bring not my son there again." There again. The first thing we see about this bride for Isaac, it was the father's purpose to have a bride for his blessed son. It was the father's purpose. The father said, "I want you to go and bring a bride home for my son. I want you to go find a bride for her." And it was the father's will and purpose. And it originated with him. That's where this business of salvation originated. It originated with God. When it says in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning was God," the only thing that didn't have a beginning is God himself. And everything else started with him. Everything originated with him. And before you and I ever was, God said, "I'm going to have a bride for my son." God said he had a purpose, and who shall disannul it? And he gave us this grace and purpose in Christ before the world ever began. Our Lord Jesus Christ, it said, he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And so God had a purpose. He had a will. And that will was, I've got a son. And oh, I got a blessed son. I got a lovely son. I got a precious son, my only son. And I want him to be, have the beautifulest bride that there is anywhere, and I'm going to send somebody to go get her. And you know, you know, that's what it says, for whom he did foreknow. What did he do? Dim he did predestinate. And I'll tell you what else he said here in verse 4. And it originated with him. God hath purposed, and who's going to disannul it? He stretched forth his hand. Who's going to stop him? He does according to his will in the armies of heaven. No man can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? But look what he said again in verse 4 here. He said, go, thou shalt go unto my country. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everywhere you go belongs to him. I know men's divided it up and they put their titles on it and they get, Scott talked about these fellas getting these great big mailboxes and putting their name on it and putting no trespassing signs all over it. But listen, we don't own, you know what, we're going to end up in a 6 foot hole about 6 foot long and about 4 foot, two and a half, 4 foot wide. And that's where we're, that's the only plot of ground we're going to own before we leave him. We get a title to it, we say it belongs to us, and we make payments on all that. But we're going to leave this earth and all that's in it belongs to him. This Lord's the country. He said, go to my country. Well, where can you go where God's not? Where can you go where God's not set his foot? Where can you go where God don't see you? David said, if I want to get away from you, he said, if I go into darkness, he said, it's just like light. If I go out down to hell, he said, there you go. He said, if I ascend up, said, there's no place that I can go to get away from you. And that's something, that's another thing about the Spirit when he gives us that spirit of adoption. We don't want to be anywhere God ain't. We delight in being in his presence. We delight in knowing that he knows us. What a blessing that God knows us. He knows us inside and he knows us outside. He knows the intimate thoughts of our heart. He knows what we think before we think it. And he said, go to my country. And it's all his. And then he says, and go to my kindred. You know how long we've been his kindred? He said, go to my kindred. Oh my. You know how long we've been? He said, Jeremiah, before you was ever formed in the belly, I knew you. Paul said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Oh, listen, before we ever were, when we were in our mother's wombs, and when we were in our father's loins, and in our grandfather's loins, and our great-grandfather's loins, God knew us. He said, go among my kindred. He says, go to people that belong to me. And now you talked about that union. He's our brother. He's our eldest brother. He's not ashamed to call us brother. He said, I and the children which thou hast given me. Go to my kindred. Go to them that I foreknew. Go to them that I foreloved. Go to them that I've loved with an everlasting love. And I'm going to draw them with cords of everlasting kindness. So that's the Father's purpose. Now look with me now over here in verse 35. Now he's done, went down, and I'll tell you the story. He went down there and he asked the Lord to direct his paths and lead him to the woman, and Rebekah came out and drew water for him, and he used that. He said, Lord, if whoever comes and brings water, he said, let that be her. But when he got there, look what he did now. Look at the son's position here. In verse 34, he said, I am Abraham's servant. I'm the father's servant. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants, maid servants, camels and asses. Now listen to this. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when he was old, and unto him hath he given all that he had. He said, you know, my master's got everything, and he's given all that to his son. Everything that the father hath belongs to that son. And not only was he like that, but he was a supernatural born child. He was a gift of God. He was sent from, you know, and he was supernaturally born. And then he says, listen, he says, my father is given everything into his hands. Look over here in Genesis 25 and verse 5. You know, the Father loveth the Son. Our Savior said this himself. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. He said, all flesh has been given unto him that he might give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. If God's got anything at all in this world that he's going to do for a man, he does it through, by, and because of his Son. Everything that we have, you know why God blesses us? He don't bless us because we're here. He don't bless us because we pray. He don't bless us because we read the Bible. And we do that because he's already blessed us. But the only blessing, reason we get a blessing, is for Christ's sake. I've never earned a blessing in my life. People get up and say, I know God's going to bless me today because I did. If God blesses me or blesses you, he blesses us for Christ's sake. And bless his holy name. He's got a full hand, and people have been taken out of it since Abel, and his hand's just as full as it was the day he stretched it out. But look what he said here chapter 25 and verse 5. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Oh boy. You know, in Colossians 1:16, you all read that one of these days when you get home, and it says, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And you just look at how many times it says, by him, by him, by him, by him. By him. And oh, bless his name. By him we stand before God today. And all the Father loveth the Son, and all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. And you're talking about wealth and a position. Oh. We can't exalt him enough. God gave him a name. Gave him a name. Of every name. In fact, God gave him a name that nobody else can ever have and nobody else can ever use. And he gave him such a name that one of these days every knee's going to bow to that name and every tongue going to confess to that name. And I'm telling you something, beloved, I've done bowed to that name. I've done confessed that name. And I delight in that name. I find courage in that name. I find rest in that name. I find strength in that name. I find hope in that name. I find all I need in that man that God made to be his blessed son and send him into this world. I don't need nothing else. If I want to talk to the Father, you know who I talk to him by, John? His son. If I need anything from the Father, who do I ask for? Son. Oh, look what Father loves him and gave him everything. All right, let's look at the bride now. Let's look at the bride. You know, the father said, go bring a bride to my son. Go get a bride for my son. Go unto my country, to my kingdom, take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now this woman had no idea that somebody was going to come on to hunt her. She was over in another part of God's country. She had no idea that there was a father. She didn't have that idea of a father. She didn't know anything about the son. She was over there minding her own business, doing whatever she was doing. She had no idea that somebody was on his way, going to make a trip, just look for her and her alone. She just got, now ain't that the way it is with us? We went on about our business, doing what we've done, and then one day, like you said, the spirit of bondage came on us. And we said, how in the world, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And that's what she was. She was off before she ever knew anything about the Father, before she ever knew anything about the Son. She was already chosen to be the bride, already chosen to be a joint heir with the Son. And here's another thing. That bride was far off in another country. If she's going to be brought, somebody's got to go find her. Somebody's got to go convince her. And somebody's got to bring her all the way back. She can't get back by herself. She don't know the way. Oh my. You know what our Lord Jesus said? My sheep hear my voice. And boy, when they hear that Savior's voice. My father-in-law, let me stop and tell you a story. My father-in-law is 93 years old now. And get around as any of us in here. And he was 75 years old, and he's sitting right there, second pew. And I preached one morning on the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. 75 years old. It was in the month of May. I got through, and I was stepping out of the pulpit like this here, and he said, Donnie, stood up and said, Donnie. He said, I heard his voice today. I heard his voice today. 75 years old. Remember me. And oh my, he didn't have any idea. We were chosen in Christ when? Before the foundation of the world. All that the Father giveth me, they're going to come to me. Oh my. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world. He said, Father, I love them. I pray for them. I pray for them. And just like Eve was in Adam, when Adam was first created, we were in Christ before the foundation of the world. In Christ. And that's why we are born of that incorruptible seed, that seed of Christ. That's an incorruptible seed. And it's like the good shepherd. He's just not going to quit until he finds that sheep. And when he's found it, you notice it didn't say found him. When he found it, you know what he does? He lays it on his shoulder. And I'm going to tell you something. He said the government is on his shoulder, not shoulders in Isaiah 9:6. Government's on his shoulder. He got the government on this shoulder and he's got us on that other shoulder. And he can carry all of us at the same time. What a Savior we have. And okay, let me go down here to the servant's proclamation. Here's what the servant said. It's the Holy Spirit. Now look what he does. Look what he does in verse 32. Oh my. Here's the Spirit's mission. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender to the camels, and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him. But he said, eat. And he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. I got one mission, and I'm not going to stop till I get that mission done. And he said, He said, speak on. He said, I'm Abraham's servant. Here's the first thing. Abraham gave his authority. He said, you go. And you swear to me, you're going to do one thing. That, and I'll tell you what, Abraham gave him the authority. The Father gave him the authority and the power to go do this. And then look what he said. I'm Abraham's servant. He was sent of the Father. He was sent of the Father. You know, in John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, it talks about Christ being sent twice. And this is our confession of faith, that God sent him to be the propitiation for our sins, and God sent him to be the Savior of the world. And so our Father sent his Son. We didn't send after him. He sent him. He sent him to us. He sent his Son, and he sent the Holy Spirit into the world. And he is sent by the Father. And then look what else. And he says, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he's become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants, maid servants, camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she is old, and unto him hath he given all that he had. And my master made me swear, I've got a task to do. Got a task to do. Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. So you see, he was sent by the Father. He had authority from the Father's house. He was sent in the name of the Son. Sent to talk about the Son. Not talk about himself. And I tell you what, you want to find out how a preacher, the Holy, if the Holy Spirit's in a man preaching, he's going to preach not himself, he's going to preach Christ. And this is why you know the Spirit of God. And then he declared the Father's purpose. The Father sent me into this place to fetch a bride for my Father's Son, for my Master's Son. He declared the Father's purpose. And he did not speak of me. I ain't going to eat. I'm not going to do anything until I tell you what I'm here for. And oh, look what he did down here in verse 53. He revealed the things of Isaac. And down in verse 53. And you know, they said, oh, listen, I've told how he stood by the well of water, and the virgin came and draw water for him, and he said, oh, and then she took him home, and her name was Rebekah. And kin folks to Abraham and Laban, and oh, listen what he does now. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and her mother precious things. Do you know what he did? He said he brought forth all the riches that belonged to Isaac. He said, I want to show you what my master has. And he brought forth jewels of silver. Silver in the scriptures, the foundation of the tabernacle was on silver. Silver is the redemption. Redemption. Then he brought forth the gold. That talks of his glorious deity. Oh, he's gold, deity. And you know, people down here go crazy over gold. And that's what we're going to walk on in heaven. God says, listen, it's so worthless up here, I'm going to have you walk on it. And you know, and we ain't going to pay attention to the streets. You know what we're going to pay attention to? Him that sits on the throne. Now you think about that. People want to be going on about streets of gold. Remember me. That's all we're interested in. Listen, we're going there not to walk on streets of gold, but to see him and enjoy him. Who's going to pay attention to the streets? We're going to pay attention to him. And that's what he said. He said, look at my master. Look at all this silver. That's how precious his blood is. That's how precious his power is. That's his redemption. And then took the gold and said, this is his deity. This is his power. This is his glory. Look at there. Look at all this gold. And if you think that's something, look at these clothes. Look at these clothes. Hey, listen, look, let me put that on there. Ooh, you ever see such a dress in your life? Remember when old Bunyan's Progress, you know, and he got up there and the burden rolled off, and him and Christian and Hopeful were going through there, and they got there, and them bright shining ones came and clothed them, you know, and one of them looked at them and said, "Oh, that's a beautiful, oh, you're shining. Oh, what a glorious garment you've got on. Oh, that's beautiful, beautiful." He didn't see his, but he saw his. He turned around and said, "Oh, my, what a garment you got on." And that, you know, oh, my, look at this glorious garment, this wondrous righteousness, this blessed, glorious righteousness of Christ. If he shines like the sun, how must our righteousness shine in the presence of God? And it's all of his making. And now he don't say, "Listen, you, here, let me see if it fits. Let me see if it fits. Stretch out your arm, let's see if it fits this way. Stretch out your arm, let's see if it fits up. See if it fits up, see if it'll button up." No, no, no. Bring forth the best robe. And put it on him. Put it on him. And then put some shoes on his feet. And put a ring on his finger, this covenant. If I wasn't in a Baptist church this morning, I'd shout. Grace Church. Well, you know, y'all have heard me holler a time or two. But oh my. And he gave all of these things to Rebecca. She didn't ask for them. But can you imagine how she looked at him and said, "Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my." Then look what happens to him. He guides her all the way home. Look down verse 61. You know, "And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man." Followed the man. Followed the Holy Spirit. And the servant took Rebekah and went on his way. And I'll tell you something. When he got down there, he didn't go down the street hollering, "My master is looking for a bride. Anybody here interested in him? He's a wonderful fellow. He loves everybody here in town. He just wants to know which every one of you wants to be his bride." That's not what he said. No, no. And he didn't ask or seek for anyone and everyone. He went to one particular person. And then look at the power of the message. You remember that the servant said this. Said, "What if she's not willing to go? What if she's not willing to go? What am I going to do then? Want me to go get your son and take him up?" "Nope, nope, nope, nope. My son's staying right here. My son's here in my place. He ain't going nowhere. You're going to bring her to him. You're not going to take him down nowhere. You're not going to take him from his position. You're not going to take him from his wealth. You're not going to take him from that place of power. We're not going to bring Christ down. He's not on sale. He's not a piece of merchandise." And oh my, look what it says now. The message, the power of the message, and oh, the power of the gospel, how powerful it is. And look how it attracted her. Look in verse 58. And oh, she showed her all of those things. And in verse 54, "And they did eat and drank, he and the men that were with him," in verse 54, "and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning and said, 'Send me away unto my master.' And her brother and her mother said, 'Let the damsel abide with us a few days. Let her stay just a little while. And then after that, she can go.' And he said unto them, 'Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master.' And they said, 'We will call the damsel and inquire her mouth.'" So they called Rebekah over and they said, and they said, "Rebekah, wilt thou go with this man?" What'd she say? She said, I will go. I will go. Oh, but honey, we want you to stay just a little while. No, I got to go. Oh, I got to go. And I, oh my. It was, oh, it attracted her. The gospel is the power of God to us. It's the wisdom of God to us. We see the glory of God in the gospel. And the gospel's the power of God. And oh, look how it attracted Rebecca. He didn't just not, he didn't have to plead with her. Didn't have to beg her. He didn't have to say, will you please go? He just says, time to go. Will you go? I will go. I will go. In the day of his power, his people are made willing. And I'm going to tell you something. Every day is the day of his power. And he keeps us willing, willing, willing. He keeps me willingly coming to him. Keeps me willingly looking to him. I'm doing just exactly what I want to do. And oh, it was the goodness and glory of the Father and the Son that won her. It wasn't she was afraid. No, no. And they said, oh, please stay just a while. But oh, she is ready to go. And she left everything behind. She left her father. She left her mother. She left her brother. She left her family. She left everything behind. You know why? Because she was told about her master's son. And saw his redemption, saw his deity, and saw them beautiful clothes. She said, I'm going to go. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to go over there. And I'm telling you, this is something else to her. She trusted everything to Abraham's promise. She accepted everything by faith because she hadn't seen him yet. And then when she went home, look what happens. Look what happens. Verse 63. Verse 61. Let's start there and finish up here. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went to his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahai-roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. He looked up and saw them coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her camel. She jumped off the camel. For she had said, this is why she did this, for she had said to the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? Who is this? And the servant said, it's my master. It's my master. It's who I brought you home to see. You know what the first thing she did? Put a veil over her face. He's holy and he's glorious. It's not what he's, you know, I want to present myself in the right way in some humility. And look what he said now. And therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And look what happens now. She found a husband, found her true life, and found all that she needed in him. And Isaac brought unto her unto his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah. And she became his wife. And listen to this. And he loved her. He loved her. Didn't talk about how much Rebekah loved him. Talk about how much he loved her. Loved her. And Isaac loved her. Isaac loved her so much. And just like that servant took Rebecca home to Isaac. One of these days, you know, our Lord said in John 17:24, he says, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am. What for? That they may behold my glory. That's the only reason we're going to go be with them and see his glory. Thank you all so much. Thank you very much for letting me come. Paul, thank you for inviting me. Thank you all for everything you've done. You're just a precious bunch of folks. God's people, ain't nobody like them nowhere. Love you, every single one of you. And God bless you and keep you.